I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Struggle, and I want you wrestling with them angels.
There is, from Auburn University, Bo Jackson.
The correct Jordan Hare Stadium time is 8:21 Central Daylight Time. Your digital audio device is tuned into the Orange and True podcast, harbored by your friendly friends at collegeofmagnolia.com. Greetings and salutations, Orange and Truthers. I'm Son of Crow, at Son of Crow 2 on Twitter, but you'll find me at Son of Crow on Venmo. To one side of me, the rumor monger, Ryan Starrett. Ryan, at Starrett on Twitter, the S is for sicking it to the hogs.
You know what's really nice, Crow?
What's up?
Not having a quarterback go 9 for 12 for 35 yards.
Man alive. That sounds horrible. That sounds like a backup quarterback coming in because something got hurt.
He had Heisman hopes. That's what I heard.
To the other side of us, back, giving you full Fort Payne ASMR with a vengeance. A man of taste. A man who has sired two sons. A man with 100 years of down home running through his blood. It's the AU Chief.
The worst thing about prison was the Dementors.
Yep. On today's show...
Harry Potter kicked there, eh, Chief?
No, The Office.
Yeah, right.
The Office, that sounded like a Creed line.
It was a Michael Scott line.
Oh, right.
Prison Mike.
Creed saying, been involved in a lot of cults. Make more money as a cult leader. Have more fun as a follower. Soccer, Auburn soccer did not have more fun as it lost its last three games by one goal in each game. That's three games by a total of three goals. Lost to number 24 Florida 2-1. Auburn is 6-7-2. That is not great.
Not so hot.
That's terrible.
We've got a couple of games coming up that are winnable games that really like are must-win games if you want to be 100% honest in terms of seeding for the SEC tournament.
Does everybody get in the SEC tournament? Or is it like 12 of the 14 like basketball?
I think everybody who has a soccer team gets in.
Do they do points? Because we're on 25 points currently.
They do. I think they do points.
Okay. Do.
We got home game versus Arkansas. The Hated Hogs looking to pay us back for the win in American football. On the 24th, that's Thursday.
Got some momentum going against them.
Let's make it 2-0 in footballs against Arkansas. Sunday, we go to Tuscaloosa to play the Alabama Crimson Tide. In the Iron Bowl of soccer, as Cole Kublik calls it. Yeah. He doesn't call it that.
He would definitely not call it that.
He despises any Iron Bowl of anything besides football, which is whatever. It's
even fun. The Iron Bowl?
Yeah, he doesn't want to even call the basketball one the Iron Bowl of basketball.
Yeah. No, it's the Iron Bowl.
He won't call it that.
Is that what people call it, the Iron Bowl?
Some people call it that, girl. Some people.
I feel like I'm fairly well-versed in Auburn basketball, and I've never heard that before. Speaking of Auburn basketball... Tip off at Tumors.
That was fun. Yeah.
I didn't get a chance to go.
I didn't get to go either. I watched a little bit of it on the camera. I've seen some highlights.
Yeah, we made our way down there.
That's cool. You live in town now.
Yeah.
If I had gone, you would have known. I would have been like, Ryan, I'm here.
Yeah, well, I mean, they did sing We've Got Jerry.
I know. I saw a video of that.
Yeah. I saw that too.
It was as crowded as like a rolling of Tumors Corner. I mean, it had a lot of people down there. It was a really good event.
Yeah. I decided I wasn't going to be able to get down there early. And
right.
If I wasn't going to get there early, it probably wasn't going to
That was be. The only issue is that they didn't have the court raised enough.
Couldn't
see. So if you're not within the first five rows or so, it's hard to see. They didn't have a screen set up, so that was nice.
Yeah, I noticed that. It looked like the setup was pretty cool.
Yeah. I heard you could see the dunk contest from anywhere. Just because they're jumping above everyone's head.
Yeah. And when they were playing 3-on-3, it was kind of hard to figure out what was going on, but...
Was it a full, like, 3-on-3 game?
So it was a really cool setup where they had five teams of three.
Uh-huh.
And the team that started on offense, if they made a basket on that possession, they stayed on the court. If the defense got a stop, they became the offense, and the next team came on. And so they were just cycling through.
Oh, so it was like king on the court. King of the court. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Cool.
But they did that, and it, I think they ran it for 10 minutes or so. And
that reminds me, there's a video on somewhere. I saw it online a couple of years ago of Kevin Durant, James Harden, LeBron, and I want to say Anthony Davis playing one-on-one, king of the court at Olympic basketball practice. And it was just like...
But that's bonkers.
It's incredible. Anyway.
So I'm assuming James Harden never got to play offense because he never got to stop.
No, you'd be amazed at how good those guys actually are at one-on-one defense when they are trying.
Yes.
Okay.
When they're trying.
Okay.
Man, I heard this was incredible. I heard the three-point contest was great because guys were shooting that, like, stretch. Turns out he's a pretty darn good three-point shooter.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we had talked about you know, who's going to be the next three-point shooter now that Bryce is in there, and we kind of landed on Samir. Ended up winning the thing.
Yeah.
Stretch hit a bunch of threes. Wiley hit a bunch of threes. I think Wiley hit like four or five of them.
He banked one in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think we can read a ton into that. Because
no,
Cole Blackstock almost won the three-point contest as a freshman as well.
Is Stretch playing five for us, or is he playing four?
He's going to be playing five.
He's got to be playing five.
Okay. And he's our third-string center.
Who is our...
No, I think Mac's going to be playing four.
Okay.
Who is our second four, though?
D'Angelo.
Probably
if Okoro is playing the three, though...
D'Angelo's playing the three as well.
Yeah.
Then I think D'Angelo's playing four.
I bet you D'Angelo is just playing forward.
Yeah.
Fair.
Yeah, I bet that's how that works, too.
Yeah.
And
that messes up my song.
You already got another song?
Our freshman forward comes from Africa, to the tune of Toto's Africa.
Yeah, he's not going to be playing the four.
Our freshman center comes from Africa.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's how it's going to start.
Workshopping it.
We've still got some more lines that have to run with Africa. So, dunk contest winner, Isaac Okoro. Yeah, dunk was nuts. Yeah. Although I saw the Javon McCormick dunks. Had he connected on any of them?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Those were huge.
He wins the dunk contest. The photo that I saw on Twitter of him jumping over Aubie.
Yeah.
You can't tell he's going to miss the dunk from the photo. One of the better Auburn basketball photos of all time.
That was the finale of the night, too. But yeah, I know your photo, the photos that you're talking
You see the
about.
Sign for Magnolia Avenue behind his head?
Some of them where you see Sanford in the background.
It's insane.
But it was a great night. I hope they do this every year.
Me too.
And hopefully they do it before a home football game.
Yeah, it'd be nice if they did it on a Saturday.
I think they can't, though.
Well, they tried to do it. They tried to do it before the Tennessee game last year.
On a Friday.
On a Thursday.
It was a Thursday.
Yeah, but the issue is there was no home games in October. It was either they had to have done it way back at Kent State or Mississippi State.
Yeah.
Or then they just can't
wait. I think the problem, I guess they could do it on a Thursday before a home game. It's just that you can't afford to shut down downtown on a Friday before a home game. It's just not gonna work for traffic.
And you have on our show notes, you know, for nostalgia's sake, it would have been pretty rad if we'd gotten to this last year and seen Malik do something insane in the dunk contest. Yeah. You know who my low-key, like, maybe would have won this dunk contest last year? It was Bryce. He could throw down.
Yeah,
he could.
Or Jared, even, might do some Spud Webb thing. He could fly-out jump, too.
Horace.
He would have
tried to do something cool.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Throw the ball into the stands as hard as it could on accident.
I was thinking this while this was going on. I really wish we could have gotten to do it last year because now this is just a small thing, but people from the outside look at it and they're like, oh, look at them now. They went to the Final Four, so now they're doing all this special stuff. When in reality, we were already acting like we had been there before we ever got there.
But even if we were acting, doing special stuff, yeah, we've been to Final Four.
Yeah, we can do whatever we want.
We do whatever we want. Nobody else has.
Apparently, a lot of Louisville fans were upset because Josh Vitale had said something about us. He had posted a quote from Bruce saying, nobody else does this. And apparently, Louisville has some outdoor thing that they do for their.
Oh, at a commuter school in Kentucky? Yeah, nobody cares.
Yeah, nobody cares.
Yeah.
But apparently, it's Louisville Live or whatever it is, or wherever they are.
Yeah,
they're in there.
Yeah.
Bad news from basketball. Devin Cambridge, it was announced he was hurt. Not from this. He got hurt before.
Right, but it came out, I think, a couple hours before tip-off.
Yeah.
He'll miss a few weeks. And, yeah, we aren't 100% sure he's going to play. I mean, he plays forward, quote-unquote, right. guard
as he well. Was probably going to be the 12 or 13th guy in this roster this year.
So he can redshirt if we really need him to. Yeah.
We have a really deep roster.
No juniors.
No juniors.
None.
But a deep, deep roster of just guys that I'm very interested in and I'm not 100% confident in.
I don't know who is going to be the star on this team, but I know there's a lot of good players.
Let me tell you, Bruce, the way Bruce is talking, hear Bruce talking, it's going to be Austin Wiley.
Yeah.
Bruce seems to think Austin's about to go off.
Yeah, which he's building him up, man.
He keeps doing this thing where he's going to make those expectations for Auburn fans get to that weird level they were with Austin early on where everyone thought it was going to be Shaq.
But here's the thing, though. Bruce has not really ever led us astray with his height.
He did say Horace Spencer was the next Dennis Rodman, and I will never let him live that down.
Well, that was
early. I think you knew that was a joke anyways.
Well, right? Based on what he's doing right now in Argentina, he's the Dennis Rodman of the Argentinian.
The way he plays is very Rodman-like.
He is very Rodman-like.
He's a defensive guy, high energy, gets rebounds.
Yeah.
Maybe doesn't have the hands that Dennis Rodman has.
That's true. I watched the Dennis Rodman 30 for 30, which if you haven't, that's a must watch.
Yeah. I was a big Rodman guy.
Rodman in college, skinny Rodman, very similar looking guys and a very similar game. That's true.
Dennis Rodman is a guy that played for the Detroit Pistons and looked very, very different than he does now.
Is Horace Spencer going to be an ambassador to a dictatorship?
Hopefully, 20, 30 years from now? Hopefully he's the ambassador to Argentina in 10 years. Horace never averaged 20 rebounds a game for a college basketball season, which Rodman did for his career.
Yeah. He's not on the same skill level. He's a similar type guy where you shouldn't expect a lot of offense out of him. But he's been doing some offense down there in Argentina, though.
Yeah, he has. Speaking of offense, Malik Dunbar is destroying the second league in Germany.
Yeah.
He's leading the league, as of this recording, in points and rebounds.
He might be the best player in the second division of Germany.
He's leading him in two major offensive categories.
So how soon could he go up to the first league? Is this something
it's not like a minor league, so he can't just get called up.
But could somebody from the first league?
Yeah, do they have a transfer window?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So like in January,
okay.
He could, a first league team could sign him.
Does Dortmund have a first league team?
No, but Schalke does.
Oh.
And Schalke has a second league team, I mean. And that's who they played on Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
I believe.
Could somebody from another country, whether U.S. or not, come in and try and sign them?
Yeah, anytime.
Yeah.
Okay. The way that works, let's say the Mavericks, for instance, were to say, man, we like this Malik Dunbar kid.
Put him in a G League team.
They could tell the G League team, yeah, he plays for us now. How much is that going to cost us? And then they just buy him out.
Okay.
And that could happen.
I figure, I believe. Maybe in Europe, though. Those leagues probably have a transfer window.
So, if he were to go play for our first league team, I believe he has to wait till January for that time. I think. Again, I could be wrong. It could be that.
And is that his decision?
Because
or is
it's
that
first
the club's decision?
No, I think
it's does Club A have to negotiate with,
Artland?
Because
Artland owns his
rights.
They'll
buy him. Okay. They'll buy his rights.
There's not trades in Europe. There's just transfers. So it's like
cash deals.
Yeah.
There's always, if in soccer at least, you'll see people suggesting every transfer window that there's going to be player trades of some sort, like cash plus players, and the player trade, player spots
never
happen.
I don't think I've ever seen
People constantly talk about it like that's, oh, we're $10 million in Theo Walcott for so-and-so. But that's never...
It's never happened.
Never happens.
And Bryce Brown and Jared Harper have finished preseason. Both of them will be on G League rosters. And those start in November. And I believe, like I said last week, this is not an advertisement for ESPN Plus. However, this is an advertisement for ESPN Plus. If you want to see Bryce Brown and Jared Harper play basketball, that's going to be your best bet.
Next week?
I think it's the first week in November,
Two
or 3 week break.
So good, because I'm going to get ESPN Plus the 11th when Disney Plus comes out.
Okay.
There's a bundle.
That's a good idea. And speaking
another Auburn
of the G League, Kenny G, Kenny Gabriel.
Kenny G,
probably
the Horn Man.
Decent chance that the Horn Man. The best player of the Tony Barbie era.
Oh, yeah, by far.
Has been signed and waived by the Hawks, which means he's going to be playing with either, yeah, with their team, which is the College Park Skyhawks.
Skyhawks, yeah.
So, he's been playing in Turkey.
We're going to officially plan
Skyhawks.
MLK, yeah, this is going to happen, I think.
It's College of Mag meetup, right, when Bryce comes down.
Yeah.
If Bryce is playing against Kenny Gabriel, we're going to go to that game.
Yeah. The question is, am I going to be a Skyhawks fan or am I going to be a Maine Red Claws fan? Probably.
We got to show up at Auburn gear, man. Come on.
That's true.
Yeah.
I'll probably wear one of my We've Got Jared t-shirts. That's the one I'm wearing right now.
Yeah. We got to wear the shooting that thing from way downtown because we're going to see Bryce.
Kenny Gabriel's been in Turkey since he left Auburn. The Turkish league is no joke.
I thought he played in Israel for a while.
I don't think so.
He's always been Turkey.
Yeah.
Two very different countries. He started in Turkey and he was recently in Turkey. Maybe in
one of those countries doesn't believe the other one should exist.
One is a democracy, the other one is...
That's a question I've got, though. Is that something that's happening? Are American players coming out of Turkey right now for political reasons?
I haven't seen that.
Okay.
It
seems like things are getting fairly hostile
things
with Turkey.
Are pretty lousy.
I think people would not be welcome there.
I think you probably don't notice it if you're living in Turkey.
Or if you're a professional athlete.
Yeah. I think you probably
don't. The Turkish league is probably behind Spain in European basketball leagues. So that's a big deal.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Gabriel,
he's been pretty good there, right?
Which means that's probably the third best league in the world.
Wow.
Third or fourth best league in the world, but yes. Depending on where you put the G League, the Turkish League's the second, the third or fourth best league in the world.
That's crazy.
Some people put the G League... Some people go NBA, Spanish League, G League, Turkish League, and some people flip-flop it. But, yeah. And you don't count the Euro League, which is like basically the Champions League. If you don't count that,
I was wondering if they had that.
If you don't count that, then it's Spanish and Turkish leagues.
Where would the top level college teams be in that? I mean, I know it's they're nowhere near.
I don't know. No. If you don't count the Euro League, which is like the Champions League again, if you don't count that, I would probably put the top flight, top 25 college basketball. Let's just say the tournament, the teams that make the tournament,
right?
I'd put them right behind Turkish League. Okay.
It'd be tough for them because these are grown.
These grown-ups.
It's a different game.
Yeah.
Style-wise.
They're grown-ups. They're playing 24-second shot clocks. They're playing wider courts like the NBA. And he's played really well. He won their dunk contest last year.
Yeah.
But not only that, like, he's played really well for a pretty good team in Ankara. Right there down on the beach. And yeah, I'm excited for Kenny Gabriel because this could be a chance.
It's very exciting.
He's the kind of guy that makes an NBA call up for a team like the Hawks. You know, towards the end of the year when they're like, we just need bodies to finish this season out. Because, you know, spoiler alert, Hawks probably not making the playoffs this year.
I think I saw their projection at 30 wins. That's good, right?
30
that gets you in the tournament.
Oh.
30 wins.
It's like a two-seed.
Oh,
so they're
God.
In the hapless East. They're projected to go 30-50. I ain't Dios mío. All right. So, yeah, he might get some chances in those weird games in February where nobody cares what's happening.
Oh, man.
That's rough. Meanwhile,
does that mean he's on a two-way contract like Jared?
No, he's on a straight G League contract.
Straight G League.
You don't get two-way contracts. I don't think that non-rookies, quote-unquote rookies, get on two-way deals. I might be wrong about that. Okay. Will might know that better than I do. McLaughlin. I've watched a lot of G League basketball. It's good, and it's getting better. And so I'm excited to see these dudes get there. Ryan's sweating. We're all sweating.
A little toasty.
My house is not hot, but then all of a sudden it gets really hot when we're recording.
Three dudes in here talking. I sweat a lot when
three dudes talking ball.
I sweat a lot when I'm on the phone, so maybe that has something to do with it, too.
Yeah. We're on the phone with all you listeners.
Thinking it's the brain power, you know?
Yeah.
It's just the brain power.
We're just overclocked right now.
Yeah, overclocked. That's right.
Woo! All right, let's take a break.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal. Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
And we're back. Jack.
Hey.
That was hopefully...
Can you hear that?
Sorry.
What was it?
A little bit of...
My phone was up over here because we're spoiler alert, we're waiting for the Rise of Skywalker trailer.
Yeah, we will be pausing this episode.
To play.
Are we going to pause the episode?
I mean, we could just watch it and talk about it.
Can we? I don't want to get sued.
I don't know. Disney, well, we can talk about it.
Yeah,
we can talk about it. You can analyze the trailer.
Okay.
I don't. That's what half of YouTube is.
We might have.
Come see my take on the new Harry Potter trailer.
Literally half, over half of YouTube is people break down.
New Star Wars trailer?
Analysis,
let's break it down.
Analysis of the trailer.
Do you think this means that so-and-so has embraced the dark side of the Force?
All right. In football.
we're on to football. Right.
Let's talk a little bit about the great state of Texas.
So we're talking about, Texas A&M game. That's what just happened, right?
Nope.
Chief, you've missed a bunch of weeks, man.
And yeah, you've been cooped up for a while.
Oh. Chief, do you want to do real quick top five things you were thinking about? Or top five things? You got a top five you prepared for us at all?
Top five
things. Top five something.
Top five things I did while I've been gone.
All right, let's do it. In the last month.
Number one, I watched the movie The Mid-90s.
Okay.
It's written and directed by Jonah Hill. Don't let that put you off.
I've never heard of this movie.
It's
called The Mid-90s.
No,
it's
called Jonah Hill here?
Well,
I like Jonah Hill, all
right. Yeah. He's okay. I think he's actually pretty good. I don't like Superbad. I think it's a terrible movie.
I know from the film Acceptance, which is a ridiculously terrible comedy.
It's a great movie.
But no, Jonah Hill's grown up a lot since then. He's great in 21 Jump Street. He's great in Moneyball, which I watched, which is, spoiler alert, maybe at the bottom in this list. Mid-90s.
Baseball.
Mid-90s is it's a movie that looks like it was filmed on VHS, which is part of the aesthetic.
Okay.
It's about a kid in mid-90s skateboarding. It's amazing. It's a really, really good movie. It's on Amazon Prime. Go watch it. It's my number one thing I did.
Wow.
I've been watching The Office.
Outside of having a second child.
Right. Well, yes.
Maybe including at
times. Yeah. I've been watching The Office. I don't know if it makes this list, but that is one of the five things I've been doing. I like it all right. It's... My friend Robert Brannon described it as great white noise when you're like working or something to put on, and I found myself being like, oh yeah, I can just put this on if I'm not paying attention the entire time. It's okay. You do miss some great Creed one-liners in there every now and then.
Creed's incredible. One of the best characters in history television.
Creed is pretty great.
I think a lot of his lines were just completely ad-libbed by that guy.
Name is Creed, yeah. A lot of them have their real names, which is...
And Creed Bratton, folk singer.
Really?
You can find his albums on Spotify.
That's amazing. what else have I been doing? I watched Bodyguard. I guess we're just going to...
With Whitney Houston?
Top five things I've watched. Bodyguard.
While rocking your baby to sleep.
Yeah, yes. Bodyguard on Netflix.
Not the Whitney Houston movie?
No. Okay. It's starring Robb Stark. From
Tony's brother.
From Game of Thrones.
Oh. not Tony's dark idiot brother.
Not Tony's brother.
This is Rob.
It's really
He's
good.
He's got a podcast, definitely.
He's got a podcast.
It's a six-episode deal, and it's just a limited series. I started today watching The Spy, starring Sacha Baron Cohen.
I've heard that's incredible, man.
It is absolutely incredible. Burned through five episodes today.
Yeah, I heard it's rad.
No, four episodes. I saw the last.
It's Sacha Baron Cohen in a serious role about an Israeli spy.
Yeah, looking like he may have looked if he had actually played Freddie Mercury like he was supposed to in Bohemian Rhapsody. That was his project for a long time. Don't know.
I didn't know that. I think he would have crushed it.
Yes. Oh, he definitely would have. Gosh, what else have I been watching?
You watched Georgia lose, I imagine.
Whew, yeah, that was amazing.
Nice little addition.
That was absolutely
Guys,
amazing.
They almost lose Saturday to Kentucky, but they won 21-0. But it was 0-0 at half.
It was 0-0 deep into the third quarter, was it not?
Yeah. And Kentucky is bad. Yeah. Like, are they worse than South Carolina?
I said to a friend, I was like, guys, I think Georgia might stink. And he was like, well, I don't know. I don't think they're bad. I'm like, dude.
After 12, not, 35 yards.
This does not look like a good football team.
No.
This is the thing I said.
They've got way too much talent.
They look very less miles.
Every single one of their players looks good doing nothing.
Yeah.
Because of the offensive game plan is so bad.
Well, so they recruit as good as Alabama, right?
Sure.
At this point, yeah.
I think we may be seeing, if you're not Nick Saban, you're not Nick Saban. You can recruit, you can be the best recruiter in the world, but if you're not a guy with an iron grip that no one slips out of, you can't recreate
what he's doing. PAPN say? Talent acquisition, talent development, talent deployment.
Yeah.
So right now, Kirby's doing
acquisition pretty well.
Really super well. And maybe development. Those guys look huge, but they're just, like I said, they're just standing around or like looking at like seventh grade football plays.
Like, they're not really allowed to throw it past the sticks.
Basic stuff. And like, at some point, these guys have played enough high level football. The players are going to have to start, are probably going to start grumbling. Like, man, I could draw better plays than this. Jake, just throw it deep.
Yep.
Well, yeah, Fullcast had a pretty good comparison. He's just Muschamp.
Yeah.
With a better program.
I kind of thought that's what I thought about it too.
He's a well adjusted Muschamp, is what I said.
A little less dumb.
Well, he tried to yell at his, he tries to act like Saban sometimes, and I don't like yelling at guys, and I don't know.
Saban has skins on the wall.
Speaking of former Saban assistants, how about Jeremy Pruitt this past week? Getting a little hot water.
Here comes some Star Wars.
Oh, we got a Star Wars trailer coming on?
You guys turn the audio on for Chief.
Yeah, Scott Van Pelt transitioning into it for us.
You guys keep talking about the game.
Yeah. Maybe Ryan, I'll talk about the Arkansas game.
Oh, SVP talking, giving us a little his trailer analysis.
Man, the sound quality has to be amazing as we walk around the room.
Here we go, guys.
I'm going to pause mine so I can hear it better.
All right now we're kind of a little bit of what appears to be people running through the forest.
Right.
You hear the audio of the Star Wars trailer. I could just pause it.
Hardcore parkour.
Okay, we hit pause because that was just ridiculous.
That was something.
Pretty good little Star Wars trailer.
Yeah.
Pretty good little Star Wars trailer.
Bought my tickets earlier tonight.
When does it come out?
December 19th. Nice.
Are you gonna skip the NC State game?
Yeah.
Man, Chief, you could have done both.
Could I?
Yes. There's gonna be like an 11 o'clock showing.
Yeah, that's true. We'll have to look at that. My wife can't go with me if I go later.
That's true.
It's worth it.
God, I miss the NC State. Why do they have to schedule that on Thursday night?
On the Star Wars night?
Thursday night. What are they doing?
Well, guys, they didn't take my advice of putting Chewbacca as the voiceover person for the entire trailer, which I'm a little bummed about. I thought that would be classic.
I'm sure you can go online and watch the trailer now as you listen to this.
Yeah.
And right now.
So talking a little football,
talk about it.
The Dallas had some tornadoes that went. It was really just the one pretty major tornado, only because it went through the middle of a very affluent area just north of SMU. Undefeated SMU, which is bizarre, guys. It could be that Rhett Lashley may not be very good. Not Rhett Lashley.
he's
great.
Rhett Lashley's doing great.
He's doing great. What's his name? Chad Morris may not be very good.
Oh, yeah.
He left SMU, and they've gotten really good really fast.
Brought in,
because of Rhett Lashley.
Who's the head coach there?
Oh, God. It was the guy that was at Cal. He was just at Cal.
Sonny Dykes?
Sonny Dykes, yes.
Wow.
Rhett Lashley is the offensive coordinator.
Where was Sonny Dykes before he went to Cal?
Louisiana Tech.
Yep, that's right. He
before Skip Holtz.
Okay, before Skip Holtz, who was after Derek Dooley.
I think Skip Holtz is still there, isn't he?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay.
A lot of coaches' sons that we're talking about. Derek Dooley, Skip Holtz, Sonny Dykes.
Derek Dooley was a coach for the Tennessee Volunteers.
His dad
was played for Shug at Auburn and is the most famous Georgia coach.
The intro to the Auburn Georgia game in NCAA football.
Oh,
one coach played at Auburn, one coach played at Georgia.
Oh, really? I don't remember that.
Between 2012 or so.
Huh, okay. Oh yeah, that's when you would have been playing
Man, I still play.
Teenager playing.
Still got 360 just like a play NCAA.
Man.
He is Sonny Dykes' dad, Spike Dykes. Coach Texas Tech for like a million years.
Oh, really?
So SMU's not the only undefeated team in Texas.
No. Right down 935, the Baylor Bears in Waco are undefeated. And guys, that is weird because Baylor was super bad 2 years ago.
So where does Tom Herman rank on the best coaches in Texas? Is it third or fourth?
Baylor hadn't played really anybody.
Well, I mean, they didn't almost lose to Kansas.
No, but they might get shell-shocked against Texas or Oklahoma. Like that. Okay. This is great for Baylor.
I mean, yeah, that's what you want to be when you're Baylor, though, right?
You want to
beat everybody
best.
But Oklahoma or Texas.
There's a really great question in the Big 12 of who's the third best team in the conference.
Who's the second best, honestly?
Texas is the second best team in the conference.
You can't have a game-winning field goal against Kansas and be the second best team.
The Auburn Tigers had a game-winning field goal against Kentucky and won the national championship in 2010. People have off games
Kentucky
against bad teams.
Kansas. That was Randall Cobb, Kentucky.
Yeah, but no, it wasn't. This wasn't
that Kentucky beat us the year before.
Did that Kentucky make a bowl game?
Were they the worst team in the Power Five?
No,
but you know what? They're not the worst team in the Power Five anymore, thanks to Brett Dierman.
They're not the worst team in the Power Five in Kansas, because that is the Arkansas Razorbacks,
and I won't hear Kansas. So.
Yeah, and I won't hear anything other. That Arkansas team is horrible,
real bad. That game Saturday was. Fun to watch for us. There were no hogs in attendance.
Man, there's been a couple of times in my Auburn fandom where I downright felt bad. And this is one of them. The other one was Mizzou a couple of years ago where I was like, man, this is not fun.
Yeah,
this is bad.
They cut to the crowd, I think, like 10 minutes before the end of game day. And it looked like it was the day before the game.
Yeah.
There was like, yeah, there's some people walking around doing stuff.
Yeah.
That's about it.
If you wanted to run laps or stadium stairs on Saturday, that was a great day to do it in Arkansas.
It's probably pretty hot.
And that is a really nice venue. No, it's a beautiful
venue. No, it's a great venue. It is secretly maybe the best one I've been to.
It's because they only play about four games every year. Go to Little Rock for the other ones.
And I don't know why, because that stadium is great. Although,
Little Rock Stadium is crazy because there's like a soccer stadium. There's no out of bounds.
Fayetteville is like forever away from everything, too.
Fayetteville's a rad town as well.
So here was my take on Fayetteville. It's nice. Everyone's a little bit overweight. Everyone wears flannel. Everyone smokes inside. That was the last part.
Is that the state of Arkansas or just Fayetteville?
Well, in Fayetteville. I think that might be.
That wasn't my case. Fayetteville is very much like a...
No, we went. And I was like, man, this downtown is great. And then we walk into the bar and we're like, oh, everybody's smoking inside. It's kind of gross.
Fayetteville is kind of the most hipster
city
in the SEC. It's a little more Asheville than it is Athens. If that makes any sense,
yeah.
It's a mountain town. They got UCI.
If it's the opposite of Athens, then I'm all for it.
I felt at home there because it's
a little bit down home there.
I mean, it's
everybody's a little bit overweight. Everybody's wearing flannel. Everybody's smoking inside.
My buddies who live there would say that it's a fairly liberal city with a very conservative university in the middle of it. So in that way, it's very similar to Athens. But I mean, a lot of cyclists. A lot of mountain people who like to do rock climbing and trail running and that kind of stuff.
Interesting.
No.
A lot of breweries.
It's just a long way from here.
Long way.
So I guess it's way more interesting to talk about the town than it is to talk about this game.
What are we going to say about this game?
Bo Nix went 12 for 17, similar to Jake Fromm.
Yeah, but how many yards did he have?
176. Three touchdowns. Six rushes for 27 yards and a touchdown. How much? I didn't watch this game. I watched a lot of extended highlights. So I've seen probably 30 minutes.
I watched this after being awake till almost 3, waking up to watch Everton actually win.
I know.
I just knew.
I watched that game as well.
I just knew that I was going to wake up at 6:30 and watch Everton lose, which is going to be terrible.
Yeah.
And then I'd be up all night. But watch them win.
I watched them from the bed of a Red Roof Inn in Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Oh, yeah. You were in Chattytown.
Yeah.
My neck of the woods.
Speaking of which... Rad town.
Yeah, I like
it a lot.
Traffic is horrible there.
Yeah.
It is.
But downtown Chattanooga is sweet.
Cool. You should take a friend to the aquarium.
We went to the aquarium. because it was rainy. Yeah. And it's a sweet aquarium.
Yeah, that's I grew up going to it.
It's yeah, that's cool.
It's the big, you know, they expanded to make themselves bigger than the Georgia Aquarium.
A Georgia?
Yes, the Georgia Aquarium was the biggest in the country.
Okay.
And then a year later, they Chattanooga opened their second wing, which is the ocean wing, and made it bigger.
And now Atlanta's building another wing.
Yes.
For sharks. Bigger. Sharks only.
They keep building. They're going to expand into World Coke.
I hope so. And they just put sharks in Coke.
You have the Coca-Cola polar bear.
But yes.
Yes, Coke polar bear.
Chattanooga's a great town. Yeah. Just like Fayetteville. And
very similar to Fayetteville.
And we killed the Razorbacks. I think that's all we need to say.
Anthony Schwartz, 8 touches for 103 yards. He's still kind of getting that. Gus is still, I think, trying to figure Anthony Schwartz out. Because he caught a pass in this game for a touchdown that was not the typical Anthony Schwartz.
You're talking about slant?
Yeah.
Yeah, he got a slant. Yeah. The normal Anthony Schwartz is just a go route or an end around.
Right. He had one of those.
Yeah. He had a go route and he had an end around.
Yeah.
He had a little of everything on Saturday.
But that slant,
I think Gus was just letting Twitter call the plays.
You don't know what the tweak was for that. He had been playing behind Seth Williams.
Right.
At split end.
Right.
You know, not just wide receiver, split end.
You got to use Pantene Pro V for your split end.
Right. So he got moved out to flanker so they could both play together.
He's playing flanker.
And they're both on the field at the same time.
Just call him X and Y, right? That's what I know.
Why don't we move Shanker out to flanker?
Shaker the flanker.
Sounds like Dick of the Kicker.
That might be a pranker. Seth Williams continues to just catch touchdown passes as the Chris Carter of this offense.
Talent-wise, where does he compare? I mean, we're not going
to
talk about
to Chris Carter? Chris Carter's an NFL Hall of Famer. I'm not sure he's
To Auburn wide receivers.
Man, that's a great question.
At least recent memory.
I think he's...
He's a more talented Sammy Coates.
Is he as fast as Sammy Coates?
No, but he does more things.
I don't think Sammy took plays off, and I think Seth does. I think Seth.
Yeah, but I think Seth is a more comparable to Darvin Adams.
Seth had 2 touchdowns he could have had, and he just like quit on the route on Saturday.
But he also scored 2 touchdowns on Saturday. Then
he could have had 4 touchdowns.
One of them, one of them, I could have scored because there wasn't a Razorback within 40 yards of him.
And the other one was right after I said, I hate fades.
The other one.
Yes, it was.
He caught a fade, and that was a catch.
It's a perfect throw, perfect catch.
I'm not 100% sure how many Auburn wide receivers make that catch.
Yeah, that was a good one.
That's the thing about Seth Williams. He might make catches that nobody, kind of like Duke Williams.
Right. At least talent-wise, he's up there with Duke.
I guess he's sort of like Duke, because Duke would... I don't think I ever saw Duke just kind of stop running on a route. But
Duke was a little more physical in the middle of the field.
Yeah. And he was, he would, though, not block sometimes. And we've seen Seth do that. Yeah.
So. We saw Darvin do that.
Yeah. So, I don't know if I'm ready to say he's as good as Duke. Because I think.
And I'm not sure I'm there yet.
I think Seth Williams is a NFL wide receiver. He's a sophomore in college right now, guys.
Yeah.
I mean, he's as good as Darius Slayton, right?
Yeah, he's better than Darius Slayton.
Okay, so
Darius Slayton's playing in the league. Yeah, playing well.
So how do we feel about the running game?
The internet's own DJ Williams had 11 carries for 48 yards. I hope that made the bunker happy. Except another thing made the bunker happier is a Joey Gatewood pass.
Oh man,
to JJ Wilson. That might have
the bunker called that play.
Yeah, like that is the most.
They got Gus on the line during the game.
Hey man. If they just run him in there and throw it to him.
I'm going to need to see our running game this weekend before I make a judgment call on our running game.
Yeah. If you are the head coach, who's the starting running back?
Cameron.
Are you ready to trust DJ Williams with that?
I don't know.
I mean, he's really only had one game where he's played.
Honestly, I just think we do what we did and just we don't have a starter. We just have a bunch of dudes.
Right.
I like Cam Martin's game.
Hey, as long as we can get him a hole to just run through, he's great.
And get him on the outside.
Yeah.
They got Cam Martin on the outside of that long run.
Yeah.
That
was awesome. Looking.
Yeah. Well, and that's what they need to be doing is getting Cam outside. I mean, I know you have to run everything with everybody to keep defenses honest. Yeah. But there's too many third and shorts where Cam was not going to pick that up.
Who all scored rushing touchdowns?
Harold Joyner did on that one big play late.
Harold Joyner. That dude is gigantic.
He's a giant. I love seeing him running because he's so big.
I'm surprised Gus has not Gus did not call any Joiner cats. Because he seems like a guy who could play Wildcat quarterback.
Yeah, I think so too.
You know, I think it would be great.
He reminds me of Darren McFadden, honestly. Yeah. Like the way he looks. I don't even know how tall Darren McFadden is. I think he's
he was a bigger guy.
I think he's 6'1" or so. Joiner's like almost 6'3".
Darren McFadden,
Joiner's pretty big.
So that's what he reminds me of, and that makes sense why I like seeing it so much. Well, so
Harold Joiner is 6'4", which is
good gracious.
He's more.
Why is he not playing basketball?
That's a great question.
I think he would actually be a perfect fit with the way they got Arkansas got Cheyenne O'Grady involved in basically all season. I mean, he's basically their leading receiver and kind of their trick play guy too.
Yeah,
he's impossible to bring down, and I think Joiner would be pretty good at that if they would commit him to that role.
I'm guessing Gus does not trust him yet. I think that's the problem.
Yeah, but they talked about, you know, when they recruited him, Gus told him, "I want you to be like Charles Clay." Gus was at Tulsa, it's, you know, tight end, running back, receiver, a little bit of everything.
Yeah,
and we've really only seen him running back this year.
Yeah.
Even in the spring, he lined up out wide. He's a big
dude. He's a big dude. He's obviously athletic. Gus's whole thing is he wants to get his ball in the hands of his playmakers, and I think Harold Joiner can be a playmaker. So he's one to watch going forward.
I don't think he's going to be a big factor
this season. Right. I don't think so.
He may be, like you saw in the Arkansas game, he's going to be involved in a couple of plays a game. Yeah.
Like to see him play a lot against Samford.
Bryce Brown, 6'3".
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. You know this dude was killing dudes in basketball in high school.
6'4 athlete? Absolutely he was. Absolutely he was killing dudes in high school. I would like to see him play a little Wildcat quarterback, but I'd also like to see Joey Gatewood play a little Wildcat quarterback. How many snaps did Joey Gatewood get at quarterback?
I'm not sure, but he got in as the quarterback, like at the beginning of the fourth quarter.
Yeah, so how many passes did he throw?
Passes. One for the touchdown, one was good.
It's 50-50.
It was just out of the fingertips.
So what did I say? I said over under
10 was the number.
10 passes? Dang.
Yeah,
I should have said one touchdown pass. That's what I said.
I don't know that we're ever going to see him throw 10 passes in a game.
Man.
Can we talk about somebody who did throw a pass? The Arkansas punter.
Oh.
Oh, man.
What were they thinking?
I'm telling you
I don't know. They got the basketball fever, man.
What were they thinking?
No, that chest pass action? That wasn't a basketball
fever. That was just a...
My 19-month-old can throw
the closest thing I've ever seen to that is when Daniel Cobb would be under pressure and he'd just hold the ball out and just give it to the guy.
The worst part about that, I've watched the GIF of that.
I'm a GIF guy, but it's fine.
I watched it like 30 times in a row.
Oh, it's horrible.
The back...
It's a train wreck.
Back leg goes up in the back in a very like dainty way. It just makes it look so bad. Like
to quote 311 and Nick Hexum, it's a beautiful disaster.
It's a beautiful disaster. It's like when George Costanza jumped over the puddle. It's kind of the motion he's making.
But hey, it's an interception.
Chandler Wooten. I know what
we've had. One
what do you think was going through Chandler Wooten's brain?
Do not drop it.
Just when he sees the ball coming in, I'm like, what is happening?
I'm more concerned. What did he think when he caught it about the way the ball came at him? Because it came at him sideways.
Yes.
Like, but also like, so he read the play. Uh-huh. So if you watch it, it was a designed fake punt where a guy ran across the route, almost a screen. And Chandler Wooten just like happened to be there. And obviously what happened was the punter was throwing that pass and then in the middle of doing the action saw that this was going to be an interception and tried to undo it as he was doing it.
In a way, it was exactly like one of Daniel Cobb's many fumbles as a quarterback for Auburn. Where he's like, oh, crap. And then,
you know when you're like in a conversation with somebody and you are gonna say something that you know is gonna embarrass you and like halfway through the sentence you try to undo it. That was what he was doing with a football.
Yeah
and it ended up with Chandler Wooten's I think first career interception.
Probably considering, like I said,
we got two interceptions in this game.
We tripled our interception numbers.
Got what I would define as a real interception in this game. Because I don't define the one we were just talking about as a real interception.
Or the two-lane.
Or
McMillan is trying to throw it out of bounds and didn't.
Or Derek Brown's interception last week. I guess
that kind of fumbled too.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Good, because it was not an interception. Yeah.
What do you? How do you? Are you confident in our defensive line with Nick Coe not being in the game?
That was interesting because honestly, maybe it's because I was kind of half paying attention, but I didn't realize he wasn't playing until after the game.
He didn't play because, quote, he wasn't playing up to their standard in practice.
On or off the field is what.
Which I had have never heard Gus do that before.
I'm with Rodney Garner on whatever he says.
Yeah. I'll side with him. If it was just a message of, hey, you need to be working harder, then hopefully it was.
Well, I think we've heard that some of his teammates may have played a part in this as well.
Well, Derek Brown has called him out in the media.
Yeah. So. Talk about a leader right there.
Derek Brown also and Marlon Davidson continue to call each other fat.
Oh, it's true.
In the media. It's just hysterical.
If he wasn't so fat, he'd get more sacks.
Oh, man.
That's what Derek Brown said about Marlon Davidson.
And then Marlon got 2 sacks in this game.
And then Marlon said Derek would have scored a touchdown if he wasn't so fat. They're both too fat.
I hope there's some team that drafts both of them. They're probably not going to be both first-rounders. You could get
one of them's going to be a first rounder.
One of them's going to be a top 10 pick.
Mr. Derek Brown will definitely be a first round.
Yeah,
he'll probably be an Atlanta Falcon.
I'd love to see Marlon Davidson on the Panthers. That'd be nice.
The Panthers need a pass rush. They had a lot of things they need.
Doing all right.
They had defense. They had
won 4 in a row.
That's fine. Fool's gold. As a Cowboys fan, I can tell you, you can run through some. There are some bad teams in the National Football League these days.
Yeah.
Bo Nix has been really. This is an interesting stat that Ryan found.
Yeah, pulled it out of Bill C's advanced box score.
Bo Nix on standard downs, which is first and second down and third down and short,
mm-hmm. right,
is amazing. Basically averaging a first down an attempt.
Right.
10.6 yards per attempt. But on passing down, which is defined as like second and super long, third and long, right?
Yeah, I think anything more than first and 10s and get backed up by a penalty or something. I think more than second and 7.
Okay.
And more than third and 5. Those are passing downs.
But like first and 15 doesn't count as passing
downs. It might, I'm not sure.
Okay. And he doesn't count like in the third and fourth quarter of losing.
Yeah, it's not garbage time either.
Let me ask you a question. Does he have a team of people that help him out with this?
No, it's just him and an algorithm.
Yeah, I think he's coded a lot of this at this point.
But he's got it. Well, I guess he can dump in.
I think stats he's got a lot of. He's got a way to read the box scores really quick, play-by-play data really quickly.
Okay.
And he can. I mean, he's been doing this for so long. Okay. Spits everything out.
All right. Sorry to sidetrack us there.
The thing is,
now that he's ESPN, he probably does have a team though.
Yeah.
He's going to have to get better on passing downs because we're going to face third and 5.
Oh yeah.
On Saturday against LSU.
Well, and that's been the tricky thing is. If he's good on standard downs, but not on passing downs, so that means Auburn has to be ahead of the sticks.
Yeah.
But Auburn has not been consistent on the ground so far. They've been relying on the big play, so Auburn is either going to get a first down pretty much, or they're going to be behind the sticks. They're going to be second and 8.
Auburn either scores on drives or goes 3 and out.
Right.
Which is kind of
not good.
Yeah.
And he's in the second quarter, which that can't happen against LSU.
Not to switch gears, but this just occurred to me. Is our defensive line better than Florida's defensive line?
Yes,
I think so.
Okay. So,
especially down 2 pass rushers.
And they gave LSU trouble for a while.
Yeah.
Right?
They did.
Okay.
LSU still scored like 38 in that game.
Yeah.
It got away from them pretty quick there at the end.
You know why? And this is what I'll say.
We got to put Joe Burrow on his butt.
The first time you see Aaron Sipos.
They tried to pull it out.
The first time you see Aaron Sipos trot out onto the field, Auburn lost the game.
Unless it's a fake punt.
Like, legitimately, against LSU, we cannot punt.
Yeah.
We cannot afford to punt the ball until
we just got to score or turn the ball over.
We have to score.
And I'll tell you what.
LSU didn't punt against Florida until the fourth quarter that game.
Oh, my goodness.
The first team that punted in that game lost. And I think the same thing will be true. If we see Aaron Sipos before we see whoever their punter is, go ahead and mark it down. You can close the laptop or turn the TV off.
So if we, if we force LSU to punt on the first drive of the game.
Game over, Auburn wins.
All right.
It's a 2:30 game. What if we do what we did in 14 and just jump on them and get like a 24-0 lead.
It'd be incredible, but I don't have any concept of how that might happen. I think the opposite could happen very easily.
I think that team in 2014 they had was probably more talented than the one they have now.
Maybe. They had OBJ. That's true. But they had Jordan Jefferson at quarterback, Chief, and he's not quite Joe Burrow.
Are we really acting like Joe Burrow's awesome?
Bro, he's good.
He's completing 80% of his attempts for 11.5 yards of attempt.
He's completing 80% of his attempts.
It's just like I can't believe Steve Ensminger is a great offensive coordinator.
He's not.
Joe Brady is. Oh, okay.
He's completing 29 touchdowns to 3 interceptions. That's what this cat's doing.
Okay. All right.
So the thing is, they're not great on the ground. They're not bad, but they've got one running back who's got. I think he's got 500-something yards. Their next leading rusher is Burrow. Their next leading rusher is Burrow, who's only got like 80 yards. They don't have a backup running back.
Pretty good against the run.
So we have to shut that down and make it a one-dimensional game, which they're still going to put
points. Here's the thing. I'm a little scared of making it a one-dimensional game.
Right.
Because their wide receivers are better than our cornerbacks, probably.
And I don't even know if it's their receivers. I think it's just Burrow.
He's super good, man. Super good. He has 20. What did I see?
29-3.
Gracious.
29 touchdowns.
It's unbelievable.
Guys.
Yeah. But the thing is, this will be the best defense that LSU has faced.
Okay.
You know, Auburn has a better defense than LSU.
Yeah.
If Bo Nix isn't throwing 3 or 4 interceptions or whatever it was,
we just can't Auburn turn it. I know what Crow's saying. We need to score on every drive. But I really just think. I think we just don't need to turn the ball over.
Joe Burrow has the number of touchdown passes this season as Bo Nix plus Jarrett Stidham's last year.
I know. He has the most.
Combined.
He has the most in LSU history.
Through 7 games.
Jarrett had
18. Which, that's a low bar to LSU.
Jarrett had 18 last year, and Bo has 11 so far.
Well, Bo is going to have more than Jarrett had last year, almost certainly.
You know, Jarrett only had 18 and 17 as well.
Same number of touchdown passes.
Because we had Kerryon
Johnson.
We had a man named Kerryon Johnson.
Yeah, every time in 720.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, watching this Auburn defense against the LSU defense, the LSU offense, rather, it's going to be one of the best matchups in the country all season. I mean, if you look at success rate, that's LSU's number 2, Auburn's number 7. Look at explosiveness, so really a big play is LSU's 14, Auburn's 18.
Yeah.
Both teams are top 10 in scoring opportunities. So if LSU gets inside the 40, they convert, I think it, Sierra wrote this down, 72% of the time.
Mm, my goodness.
They get a touchdown on 3/4 of the drives they get inside the 40.
That Florida game is going to
happen. But Auburn's 37% on defense.
Okay.
So there's.
Yeah, we are very good in the red zone on defense.
Right.
Man, this is. I really want to believe we can beat them down there. I really do.
I would love to.
I said that. Before the season, I said that we were going to do it.
This was the game I circled as a loss.
I'm going to have to stick with what I said at the beginning of the season. We're just going to go down there and get it done.
I mean, here's the thing. Auburn could be favored by 20 in this game, and I still would predict a loss.
What is the spread?
It's 12, 13.
In LSU's favor?
Yeah.
12?
12. We'll see. But Elliott has picked us to cover the spread.
Right.
Wow.
So, I mean, it's crazy, but a lot of the
I don't know what Elliott is. I get all my betting information from James Jones.
Where do you think James Jones gets his
odds maker, amateur odds maker, James Jones.
Oh, yeah. I think James put out a College and Mag betting line this week, didn't he?
We got a betting line.
On when will Auburn pull out the Arkansas Cheyenne O'Grady play?
Yes,
bring him in motion and pick up the snap as he goes.
Yeah, this came from Lonely Tail Gator.
Now, why does that?
Twitter.
I didn't see that play. What happened? The guy comes in motion.
They motion the guy and across the formation.
He just went under center,
took the snap, picked up 4th and 1 that way.
Nice.
And that was their tight end.
He's coming across like that he's in motion, like he's going to go all the way over.
Harold Joyner's doing that nonsense. Oh. That's a Harold Joyner special.
It's an automatic first down, right?
If
Harold Joyner's doing
because
it.
Because
6'4".
The formation was 5 wide, so you had Auburn in the dime.
I really hope Spencer Nye does it.
Oh, man. What about Shanker?
That definitely would have been a Shanker at flanker.
Guys, you know that Seth Williams is 4th, tied for
6th.
He's tied for 2nd. because there's three guys, or he's second place because there's three guys tied for first with 9. But Seth Williams has 7 receiving touchdowns.
Three guys at 9. Just about all he's
done. So he should be up for the whatever award.
This is in the conference. So Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase from LSU both have 9 touchdowns.
Yeah, there's probably a guy from Oklahoma that has 30 touchdowns.
Devontae Smith from Alabama has 9. Yeah, I haven't looked at everybody else. I'm sure Oklahoma does have like a guy with 20.
I believe James set the set it at Georgia as well.
Yes, halftime of the Georgia game was
okay. And he gave plus 100 for before then.
Give me the under. We're running that nonsense against Samford.
So I thought
that would be after Georgia though.
Oh right.
Sorry, I was thinking maybe we want to run it against lesser opposition like Ole Miss, but. I also think maybe Gus just wants to pull it out against Georgia. But see, so I think James's odds are pretty good. I'm gonna go with a push on this.
Is it odd? Is it interesting that he would
during halftime
he would steal a play from an opponent?
Well, Chad Morris might just give it to him.
Yeah, but like it's a weird deal. I don't know. Has Gus ever done that before?
Yeah,
taking a play that another team has done against us a couple of games later.
What's the one where the little guy hides behind the line?
That was his play.
Was it though? I mean, that guy ran against us. Was it the Nebraska game back in 2005?
He wasn't here.
Yeah, no. But I'm saying that guy ran around.
LSU ran it with what Bird, the little tiny dude they used to have against us.
Ladarius Bird or Demetrius Bird.
That was 2006. I don't know. I mean, I think we have seen him do plays.
Sorry, I'm looking up what someone else has done,
and I can't think of a specific play, but we have seen it happen. I don't know if we've seen it happen mid-season before. But maybe that's a play Gus has in his book, and Chad just stole it from him.
CeeDee Lamb. CeeDee Lamb at Oklahoma has 11 touchdown catches. Jalen Hurts.
Oh, my goodness.
10 touchdown rushes.
He's got video game numbers. If he doesn't, he's got to win the Heisman. He's got to.
Jalen?
Yeah.
He's got to. Yeah.
He's throwing 20 touchdown passes and run for 20 touchdown runs. So
that's some total Cam Newton numbers right there.
Yeah.
To be honest with you.
The other backup quarterback has maybe the best name in college football, in my opinion.
What is it?
Tanner Mordecai.
Oh, my God.
That's a relief pitcher. Come on. That's not a quarterback.
And their third string quarterback is Spencer Rattler.
Speaking of, I watched Moneyball for the first time. 2 days ago.
See Chris Pratt in there?
I did. I didn't know Chris Pratt played first base for the A's.
Yeah. There's a little Tim Hudson cameo.
What a cool
movie. Was there? I don't know if he actually was in it, but there was a bald guy with a soul patch.
Well, he was on that team. So it's funny. Like I was like, oh, you don't want to watch? Haley was a fan of the A's around that time, but she can't remember if she watched that season or not. I remember that season when they 120 in a row.
See, I thought they won all those games because they had the best pitching starting rotation in baseball. Turns out it's because they didn't steal bases.
Yeah. They just played the odds, man.
It wasn't because they had Tim Hudson and...
It's because they had Brad Pitt. Come on.
Yeah. So they did have great pitching.
The best pitching in the American League.
Yeah.
It's because they didn't re-sign Jason Giambi.
Yeah.
Oh, and another pick for the
cut Jeremy Giambi.
Yeah.
That is
his baseball card.
That's basically the 900th pick that Sam Darnold has thrown in this game.
Yeah,
in the end zone. It's the third one he's thrown in the end zone.
He's just trying to throw touchdown passes.
Yeah.
So we're going to beat LSU this weekend, right, guys?
Guys, I really hope so, man. I haven't picked against Auburn yet. I think if it's a game that is within 10 points, Auburn wins. That's my gut. Close game, Auburn wins.
If we don't turn it over more than once, I think we win the ball.
Yeah, this is going to come down to Bo Nix.
Yeah.
I think. Bo Nix protecting the football. Finds the open
guy. I think we're going to turn them over. I just think we've done it to everyone else.
And they're going to throw a ton. So hopefully they throw it quick, though. But hopefully we get home.
Yeah, we haven't had a lot of picks. I think that might be the problem, and the fact that they get it out of there pretty quick. But
it's going to be, can the defensive line get home?
Yeah.
I mean, if they don't get any kind of pass rush, then it's going to be a long day.
Yeah. LSU is going to be
because they're going to pick on linebackers.
Yeah.
They're not going to be able to run the ball against us. LSU's going to become one-dimensional. And then similar to what Texas A&M does, it's going to be, can Kellen Mond beat us? But in this case, Joe Burrow, who is infinitely more talented than Kellen Mond this season and has an offensive coordinator that is trying to win games.
I guess my hard-hitting analysis will be we have to win the turnover battle and we have to run the ball.
Yeah. Good one. That's a good one, Chief.
We got to score more points than they did.
I would also
my third point.
For me, it's we can't put Bo Nix in passing situations all game.
It's got to be second. Yeah. It's got to be second and four.
He can win us the game if he has opportunities to make.
Well, we just can't. We can't afford to do what we did against Florida, where we just never got.
We can't afford to run the ball on first down that often. Yeah. We got to be throwing the ball on first down.
It doesn't have to be downfield to us. I mean,
there's got
to
be.
Yeah. We cannot be.
4 yard game. 4 yard pass. That's all we need.
Yeah. Pull a page of the Georgia playbook.
Oh, man. Not this past 2 weekends, please.
That's... Yeah. Where happened to those, all those bubble screens, man?
There's no Ryan Davis.
Give us some tunnels.
I miss the tunnel. Bubbles and tunnels, man. I miss a good old Sammy Coates tunnel screen. That was like the greatest play in the playbook.
Let's see Sal Canella do it.
When's the last time we ran a wheel route?
We had Joy ran a couple of them
earlier. From your lips to Gus's ears, Chief. To Harold Joy, I'll go wheel route for six.
Oh, that is a good one. That's a great wheel route guy. He's 6'4".
He's done it a couple times.
He's gigantic. He's gigantic.
Who's going to cover him?
Not me.
It'll look way better than Jay Prosh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Running as hard as he can on the sideline.
Yeah. Jay Prosh running like they're out of muscle milk.
All right.
Guys, that's going to do it for us. Let's beat LSU. I think we can do it.
Yeah. Chief, you want to do the honors?
Yeah, who knows?
35-21 Tigers. One, two, three, four.